You know, the Three Stooges, if you ever watch them, when they take falls, when they get hit by hammers and pitchforks, when they stumble and bumble about, it's supposed to be funny, and we laugh, you know, even if we're not supposed to, we laugh. However, in the real world, a trip or a fall is not so funny, is it? It really hurts, especially if you ever fell on some cold, hard concrete. That didn't feel so good, did it? And tripping and stumbling is serious business. You know, it can make a great day bad or even end your life. It's no wonder then that Jesus uses the image of stumbling as a metaphor for those hidden dangers that all Christians have encountered or will encounter. And those stumbling blocks may lead to a great fall. I'd like to read to you from the book of Mark, chapter 9, and I'll start at verse 42, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Verse 42, it says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he had been cast into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched." Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we come to the wellspring of your word, and we come to drink, Lord, and to drink deeply. And Father, we ask as we have looked into your word, we've heard it read, and we can continue to consider it, that, Lord, our hearts may be open to your leading, that our minds may be open to your guidance. And Father, we know that your word is powerful. It's sharp as a two-edged sword, and that it transforms lives and changes hearts. And we pray, Lord, that your word would do that to us now. We open ourselves up to your word. And Father, I pray for myself as I preach your word to your people this day. I ask, Lord, that you would inspire me, that you would forgive me of my sins, that I may be worthy. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, years ago, I heard a story about a woman who was suing a furniture store in Texas because she had fallen in the store and was injured. The owner of the store was somewhat surprised by the lawsuit, since the woman had tripped over her own child in the store who was running around unsupervised. So he's kind of perplexed about that. You know, you ever tripped over your own shoestring? You ever done that? Tripped over your own shoestring? Have you ever tripped over something that someone else left lying around the house? I remember one time one of the kids dropped a watermelon rind off the end of the porch, and I walked off of there and tripped right on it. You know, they just left it laying there. I remember one time, this is an odd story, I was walking in the woods up in Ohio, and I tripped and fell over something. I thought it was a big rock, and I looked down, it was a tortoise. You know, it was there in the grass, kind of a rare thing in Ohio. You know, have you ever heard that slang phrase, tripped up, you know, being tripped up? To be tripped up, you know, we use that as if maybe you're intending one purpose, but you have that purpose changed by some unforeseen circumstance. For instance, you could say this, you know, just like for instance, he planned to go to college, but he got tripped up when that scholarship fell through. I hoped to get home before 6, but I got tripped up with that flat tire. Or she really wanted to save her money, but she was tripped up by that dress in the store window. You had a plan. You had a purpose. but you got tripped up by something unexpected. You planned on one kind of life, but you got tripped up and you had to settle for another kind of life. Does that sound familiar? To follow Jesus Christ is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. It's the most important decision that you're going to make for all eternity. And to follow Jesus Christ is not a decision to be made lightly. Your plan is to follow Jesus Christ right into the kingdom of God. Your purpose is to walk in Jesus' footsteps. However, we must be careful how we walk. You know, I don't care how committed you are or how committed you think you are. I don't care how dedicated you are or how dedicated you think you are. All of us are still in the danger of tripping. We can still fall. We can still get tripped up by something that we didn't expect. We can stumble. And Jesus warns us about stumbling, but he also warns us about being the cause of someone else to stumble. You know, Jesus, in chapter 9, verse 42, he gives a very solemn warning to his disciples. He says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better if, with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he'd been cast into the sea." You know, the disciples, as Jesus spoke to them here in Mark chapter 9, at this point in their lives, these disciples of Jesus were the future leaders and teachers of Jesus' church. And that's what he was training them to be. And they were going to be entrusted with the life-giving and the life-changing word, the gospel of the kingdom. And these little ones are not just children, but they're also those who are babes in the faith. The little ones here are those who believe. Their faith is new and it's just developing. And Jesus warns that severe judgment will come upon those who cause one of these little ones to stumble, to trip, to fall. In other words, they would cease to believe. They would get tripped up, and their faith would not develop as it should. And that, you know, that would be a tragedy. It would be a crime. You know, it's interesting here, the Greek word here for stumble, and if in a passage I read to you, that word stumble occurs several times. In fact, just to remind you of that, if you look at verse 42, whoever causes one of these little ones to believe to stumble. And then look down to verse 43. If your hand causes you to stumble. Verse 45. If your foot causes you to stumble. Verse 7, 40, 47. If your eye causes you to stumble. So that word occurs several times there. Jesus uses it several times. Behind it, it's translated from the Greek word scandalizo. And you can hear in that word scandal, scandalizo. The English word scandal or scandalize is derived from that ancient word. And we all know what a scandal is, don't we? It usually involves some sin or some shocking behavior. It's about what someone said or about what someone did. And scandals, you know, are, you know, we have plenty of scandals in politics. We have lots of scandals in Hollywood and even in church as well. In this age of scandal, I wonder if we've forgotten what it is to be shocked or to be ashamed. However, scandal, something about scandal, a scandal has a way of making us doubt, has a way of making us question. Scandal has a way of making us not trust anymore. Scandal has a way of robbing away innocence. And so Jesus is saying, don't steal away another person's faith by making them stumble, by scandalizing them. The Bible says that leaders and teachers in the church, in the book of James particularly, will be judged by much higher standards. And so in this world of decaying morals, We can't debate that. There's decaying morals in our world. The ones who lead the church must strive to be good examples and to set higher standards. Because our poor judgment, our poor example, may cause others to trip and to fall into sin. And you know, this is not just true of church leaders. I was thinking about this. It's also true of parents and grandparents, uncles, aunts. Be careful. Think about those kids. They're watching you. They're looking up for you to set the example. And be careful of the example in which you're giving. I know there are wonderful kids here in this church. They have faith. They believe. They know right from wrong. They know the Bible. They're positive. They're optimistic. Don't do anything to make them question that childlike faith. Don't make them question right from wrong. But in a personal sense, we're talking about being tripped up by stumbling. We have to ask the question, what is it that makes you trip? What is it that makes you stumble? What is it that scandalizes you? Jesus says, cut off your hand if it makes you stumble. Cut off your foot. Pluck out your eye. You know, these verses here, if taken literally, think about it for a moment, sounds like a basis for a pretty gory horror movie. Cut off your hand, cut off your foot, pluck out your eye. And even if we take it figuratively, the language that Jesus uses in these verses is shocking. And don't be surprised by this observation. Jesus intended you to be shocked by his words, to be troubled by his words. He's trying to get your attention. Not only can we trip somebody else up and make them fall, we also have the ability to make ourselves fall. To make it clear to you, these verses aren't just about tripping and falling. It's about losing your salvation. It's about coming up short for the kingdom of God. And that would be a tragedy. Jesus, what does Jesus say? He says, if your hand is making you stumble. That's the first time maybe a preacher brought an axe to church. He says, if your hand is making you stumble, chop it off. I didn't mean for that to happen. But anyway, chop it off. Cut it off. Get rid of it. Because it's better that you go into life without a hand than to go your whole body to go into the fiery hell. If your foot is making you stumble, he says, chop it off. If your eye is making you stumble, pluck it out. Jesus, of course, is not commanding us to actually chop off limbs or to cut out organs. Instead, these things, the hand, the foot, the eye, are symbolic for those things that would bring sin into our lives. And so Jesus exposes the brutal truth. Either you choose one way or the other. You can't have it both ways. Either you can have your hand and die, or cut it off and live. You can keep your foot and perish, but you can cut it off and live. You can keep your eye and die, but pluck it out and live. It was in the news a few years back, been a while back, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, but back in 2003, there's a climber, is a fellow by the name of Aaron Ralston, and he was hiking and climbing in Canyonlands National Park. I don't know if you've ever been there, it's in Utah, very remote, very rugged. And while there in Canyonlands National Park, he was off the trail and climbing, and he got trapped when a large boulder shifted and it pinned his arm right there. And for 4 days, he waited there to be rescued. He's off the beaten path. He didn't see anybody else. He hoped someone would come along, but no one did. But nobody arrived. And he was running out of water after 4 days, and he feared that rescue would never come. And this man actually took a pocket knife and cut off his own arm at the elbow to free himself from the rock. And he hiked out for help. And he lived. He survived. Now I wonder, if you're that man, how would you arrive at that decision to do something so drastic, so terrible? But he had a choice before him. It's either my arm or my life. You know, Jesus is not pulling any punches here with us. It's a difficult choice, but an essential one, if our life is to be saved. If we don't take any drastic action, the alternative is much worse. Notice Jesus' words in verse 43. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better that you enter life crippled than having two hands to go into hell and to the unquenchable fire. To enter life, of course, in this passage is to enter eternal life, the kingdom of God. The other option, as it's written here, is hell. Now, the word hell in this place is actually translated from the Greek word Gehenna. And Gehenna, back in Jesus' time, was a real geographical place. It was also known as the Valley of Hinnom. You probably all know that. And back in Jesus' time, it was essentially, Gehenna was a garbage dump for the city of Jerusalem. And along with the refuse that would be brought from the city, unclaimed dead bodies and other sorts of gore were cast into there. And here and there in this Valley of Gehenna, Valley of Hinnom, fires would burn continually. Also, there would be worms and maggots feeding on the rot. And Gehenna was a place of destruction. It was a place of final judgment. In fact, Jesus and the apostles used Gehenna, the picture of Gehenna, the Valley of Gehenna, as a picture of the lake of fire and the complete destruction of sinners. In fact, if you look down to verse 44, it says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And then it's repeated in verse 46 and then in verse 48. That's actually a quotation from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 24. And it basically means that the worm will not die, the fire will not stop burning until a complete destruction is accomplished. And so Jesus gives a very stark choice. Enter life maimed or face certain and complete destruction in the fires of Gehenna, the lake of fire. And so he says, you need to take action. If your hand is making you stumble, if it's making you fall, if it's leading you away from eternal life, cut it off. Now, why does Jesus make the choice sound so gruesome? It's for this reason. The things that are in your life that make you stumble are things that are very, very close to you. They might be even very dear to you. You might treasure them in some way. And you can't conceive of life without them. Those things that make you stumble have become a part of you. They're like your hand. They're like your foot. They're like your eye. You couldn't imagine life without those things. However, Jesus says that radical surgery is necessary if the patient is going to live. The things that make you stumble, the things that trip you up, the things that scandalize you, the things that make you sin, the things that make you deny the Lord who loves you, are the very things that will destroy you in the end. And so Jesus says it's time to get serious. It's time to take action. Now, we have one of those Wii games at home. We enjoy playing it. You know, I think, you know, video games are fun, but you know, if video games is something that's making you stumble, then maybe you need to get that Xbox out of your house. If that computer is making you stumble, we know there are very many temptations that go along with the computer. If that computer is making you stumble, maybe you need to set it out with the morning trash. Oh, you might say, I can't live without it. Everybody else has one. I can't live without email. But if you that thing is destroying your life, destroying your soul, maybe you need to get rid of it. You know, friends are a good thing to have. But you know, sometimes we can fall in with the wrong friends. And if there are friends that become a bad influence on you and you're not influencing them for good, maybe it's time to end those relationships. We may say, well, I've known them for years. We have so many good memories together. But if they're making you stumble, need to end those relationships. If there's a boyfriend or a girlfriend that's making you stumble or leading you away from the Lord, it's time to make some important decisions. If you're addicted to alcohol or to painkillers, it's time to get serious about those things once and for all. It's time to make those sacrifices that are necessary. If you know, one thing about hatred that you might have for another, you know, hatred becomes a good friend after a while. We think it keeps us warm. But if you're holding hatred in your heart, today is the day to forgive. If there's an activity that is keeping you and your family from fellowshipping with God's people, it's time to cut it off. If an affair has infected your marriage, it's time to sever that adulterous relationship and instead cling to your spouse. What are those things that make you stumble? What are those things that you hold so close, yet they're to your doom? Is there something maybe you've justified in your own heart? It may be that guilty pleasure that maybe you made peace with years ago. It's a secret that no one else knows, possibly. But it is a cancer that's destroying and infecting your very soul. It's causing you to stumble, to trip, and to fall. Be strong. Be courageous. And take action. Your life is at stake. You know, the Lord has so many wonderful things planned for you. Did you know that? The Lord has so many wonderful things planned for you. There are so many blessings that await in this life and in the kingdom of God. Make those difficult choices and enjoy the life that the Lord has planned for you. Thank you.